Armed Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus.
Welcome, everyone. It's Anne-Marie Curry, your presenter for today, and I'm in the studio reflecting on where Grey Power's going this year and what's on our agenda. And I'm just wanting to say that at this stage we have got the Freedom Camping is officially closed, but the ads are still on the radio to give feedback. So I would suggest that you, if you do have feedback to give, that you go to the council website, have a look at www.shape.co.nz, see what you can find out there, or ring the main Auckland Council number 301 0101 and ask how you can give feedback. And there is quite specific differences in each area as to what parks are going to be, have designated spaces for Freedom Campers, and so it's really important if you've got favourite spots and you think that the parking is inadequate now, then under Freedom Camping it may be worse. So, you know, it's really important to get those messages through and talk to your local board representatives or your local councillor. Your local councillor will be the one who will be deciding on the final shape of the bylaws. Several people have made strong representation over the fact that there's no provision to restrict Freedom Camping on the streets. So people can park on suburban streets and there isn't anything to stop that happening. And that seems to be a gap in the bylaw. And I suggest if you've got strong feelings about that, that you make that clear in whatever feedback you can manage, verbal or written. So at this stage, the next thing on the agenda for council in our advocacy is the discussion about the future of water. Now, that discussion booklet, there are copies in the library or copies available at your local board. And I guess one of the key things that's behind it is sort of what the value of water is to us, what is the significance of water, and how do we look at protecting different views. And of course, underlying all this is the question of who should own this water. Should it be privatised? Now, that question is not asked in the discussion document, but overseas, one of the strong political movements in Europe has against the EU has been the privatisation of water, what it's meant for communities once that has happened and water has gone out of their control, the pricing and the value placed on it and who has access to it all becomes a different set of questions, and the answers are very different, I should say, rather than the questions. The questions remain the same, but the answers are very different. So in New Zealand, we have had various movements so far. In Canterbury, it's been the primary one, but in the Otago region as well, people have been very concerned about irrigation, the drawing off of water from potentially public use into private hands, and the bottling of water, of course, has been the other one, which has been strongly contested in different parts of the country. So in Auckland, the question of bottling the water or selling the water is not clearly laid out in the document for discussion, nor is the privatisation issue. So I would suggest that this is something worth grappling with. It's worth having a look at the documents at the library. It's worth having discussions. And we will be bringing up in Grey Power at our meeting on the 5th of April at 1 o'clock at the Blockhouse Bay Community Centre. So we would welcome anybody with an interest in water to come to that meeting. There have been strong lobby groups about water in the past. Some of our members were involved in a movement that Penny Bright led. So it may be that this will attract attention if people are aware of it. So do let people know if they don't know about it already. And the final feedback is due in the middle of April. I think it's the 17th of April. So that'll be just before Easter. Now, I've been looking at light rail of late, and the business case at the moment has been delayed, I understand. But the benefits of light rail are many and varied, and often we hear about the problems and the funding and the which route it's going to go on, and should we have light rail or should we have heavy rail. We have those questions being bandied around. But in actual fact, in the past, light rail was trams, and in the times of trams, we had a great deal of social activity happened on the trams. There were many love stories, there were many shopping expeditions, and there was many family outings conducted on trams. They were a feature of life, and they did bring people together. They were part of social cohesion, and I would suggest that they could have that role again as light rail evolves and develops as the way of life, particularly going along Dominion Road. And I think it will enhance not only the shopping in that area, but the restaurant life, and maybe bring alive some of the event spaces that are near that locality. So Potter's Park will take on a new ambience, the Capitol Theatre, and then the connection with the Parr Homestead and art and culture generally. I think there'll be lots of stop-off points for people to explore along the light rail route. So rather than just all doom and gloom, we should be looking at some of the positive aspects of light rail and how it will enhance the living in central Auckland and decrease the congestion because of the large numbers of people being able to be carried per trip. It will take literally hundreds of cars off the road, and on an hourly basis it's going to make a huge difference to how people move through the arterial middle of central Auckland. The speed with which light rail is going ahead in Australia is quite phenomenal. 18 months ago it was proposed in Canberra when they started clearing the land for it, chopping trees and digging up what was essentially a park strip down the centre of the road. Now, it's actually a reality. So there was a media briefing yesterday, and the trains were actually running on a training program up and down the tracks. So they are bright and they are very distinctive, and they simply travel on electric wires, so they're smooth, quiet, and everybody seems very happy with the result so far. So that's 18 months from resource consent being granted to actual service on the tracks, and that's a pretty fast result. Now, I don't know that we could match that. And obviously they have different funding pots, and the federal government funds a great deal of it too. So, because the parliament is there. So, you know, we can't compete probably, but it does show that when countries want to do things, it's possible to get up and go and get something happening. It doesn't have to take years and years. So we need to question why it's taking so long to get light rail, and why it's the timetable seems to be stretched, and why the business case isn't happening or isn't coming forthcoming at this stage when we've been promised it for quite a while. I think these questions are really important. We should be asking them of our local elected representatives. Now, in today's program, I would like to suggest that we focus more on community building, because the research coming out is talking about how many people are lonely in amongst the adult population. 40% report being lonely or feeling lonely at some point in the previous month. And once you go into the older population, that figure rises steeply to 60%. So we know that amongst the senior community, there are gaps in people's lives. There are reasons why people are lonely. It's not just because they're living alone, because sometimes loneliness happens to people even in relationships and even in a busy life. But coupled with the loneliness is when people are really isolated, when they haven't got people they can have regular conversations with. And thinking about how New Zealanders used to live in the past, people had bumping spaces. They had, well, I call them bumping spaces, but they had places where they could go and where they could mix and mingle and naturally connect with people, just to have casual conversations that were meaningful to them. And as so much of life is automated and so much is digitized, and so people are online or having to do things on cell phones, they're not actually doing things face-to-face as much. And those bumping spaces aren't occurring as often as they should be. They're not necessarily being planned for in cities in a very clear way. I mean, modern planning and architecture does stress this in a lot of courses, but we don't seem to see it translated into action. When people graduate and get out into jobs, it just doesn't seem to be happening as much as what we would like. So I did an exercise recently with a visitor who's a planner, looking at Aotea Square and evaluating how attractive it was. Was it meeting people's needs? Did it invite people to come in and just sit and enjoy themselves? Or was it sort of rather grey and just a functional space for people to walk through to get from A to B? And as I looked at it and as I watched how people were interacting and what they were doing, I saw that the people were an afterthought, that there wasn't really a softness anywhere. There was a lack of vegetation. There could have been perfumed, scented garden plots. There could have been bright flowers. There could have been comfortable seating. There could have been opportunities for people to be clustered in seats. And all of these things were missing. Now, I've been there on events and been there at the Readers and Writers Festival, and it all comes alive and it's packed with people and it looks like a great space. But in between times, there are lots of people who have lunch every day in the city who could come out of their offices and could mix and mingle. It could be a great bumping space. But instead, it's rather drab and grey. So it's this kind of thinking that needs to change around our city and around our suburban areas. And talking to locals, some people are thrilled with the way Mount Albert's shopping area has been redesigned, and other people are less happy. But there are wider footpaths, and it's definitely better for pedestrians. And it is very colourful anyway, in terms of signage and so on. But perhaps the space for coloured flowers and planter boxes, and, you know, just a little bit more of that softness of it being user-friendly to people rather than focused on cars. And it's that sort of shift in thinking that we need in our inner city. And then when light rail comes along, it's the addition to help people get from A to B smoothly, and at the same time not having to worry about car parking and so on. So all those people who kind of see it in a negative light as taking car parks away and putting limitations on traffic flow and everything, actually not focusing on the opposite, which is the huge decrease in the number of cars on the road. Now, as a Grey Power leader, we are focusing on what's happening on the national level, on the national front, and currently our national president has been talking about what we need to be doing to improve the outcomes for seniors in aged care, what we need to be doing to protect seniors from their own family members very often, who will be doing financial abuse and be ripping off their money in different ways. And often because there's no deterrent, because they know no one's going to look into this. No one's going to follow it up. And so our national president has been at pains to say, look, it's time we had an aged care commissioner. We had Labor and the Greens agreeing to this as a policy move that they would introduce in the new parliament, and yet there hasn't been any talk of it at all. So it's time that Grey Power got moving and actually elevated this conversation and talked about some of the statistics behind why it's needed. And the financial abuse is rampant. It is on the increase. And it's often divides families very bitterly. And those that are aware of it and who don't agree with what other family members are doing, they haven't got much right of redress other than taking court action. And it can be very expensive, and they don't necessarily have that sort of money. But it may also be emotionally too hard for them to tackle. But having an aged care commissioner would mean that their office would be resourced and they would take cases through the courts. Now, the opposition has said that, oh, we don't need one because we've already got the Minister for Seniors. But the Minister for Seniors does not take cases through the courts. That is not the role of a Minister of Parliament. So that is why we need an aged care commissioner. We need somebody who can conduct an investigation into what's been happening in rest homes and what's happening with the shortfall in health care generally for older people. There is a number of situations that we keep hearing about where people are denied treatment because of their age. And if you're a very fit and healthy 80-year-old, why should you be denied treatment that would otherwise enhance your life and your well-being? It doesn't actually make much sense. We're living longer. People are healthier at an older age, and they may need a treatment of sorts that they should be entitled to. I mean, age shouldn't be the sole deciding factor on whether someone gets treatment or not. We don't employ that way of thinking at any other time in the lifespan. I don't see why we need to employ it routinely without consideration of other factors. And it just doesn't seem fair. So that's something that Grey Power is really interested in having a conversation about and expanding awareness on. And I think it's time we had a break. So for a music break this time, putting on Dream a Dream by Bic Runga. And I hope you enjoy this. And we'll meet again and continue the conversation soon.
Dream, oh, was it real?
welcome back again. And I'm Anne-Marie Khoury, President of Auckland Grey Power, and I'm the presenter for today's session. So I've been talking about some of the advocacy issues that Grey Power is working on currently, and both locally and nationally. So we have a meeting regularly, a monthly meeting at Blockhouse Bay. So the next one is on the 5th of April, and the subject will be housing, and we will be having some MPs present. I know Deborah Russell's coming. I'm looking at having some people from the community housing sector there as well, just to look at the range of choices and options for seniors housing, considering we no longer have pensioner housing on the Auckland Isthmus suitable for the number of people that are on the waiting list and the number of people who urgently need housing support. So I invite you to come to that meeting. You may be well housed yourself, but I mean it may be an opportunity to understand Grey Power's advocacy in this space and just how effective people are as seniors in this problem. I mean, they're the hidden part of the housing crisis. They don't get much coverage in the media, but I was on television last week and did get coverage in the Herald. So it's starting to happen that people are noticing that we have got a tremendous gap and shortage in suitable housing for seniors, and also there's a lack of planning on that front from certain quarters. I know government is providing some social housing, but in the community housing sector there's not enough support from government, and there's not enough coordination between government and council in that space. Now, at this time of the year, we really look closely at our membership. We look at how many people are belonging, and we're looking at increasing our membership, and we're looking at getting members to renew. So if your membership is lapsing, please pay attention to that. We have the office in Blockhouse Bay where people can walk in and pay in cash, or people can send to our PO box, which we are very happy to receive checks. We haven't gone out of fashion with those. So our PO box is 48157 Blockhouse Bay, Auckland 0600. I'll repeat that. Our Blockhouse Bay PO box is PO box 48157 Blockhouse Bay, Auckland 0600. And if you want to email us, if you've got suggestions for the program or suggestions for meetings or topics that you'd like aired in either situation, please write to us, akgreypowerinfo. So that's akgreypowerinfo, all lowercase, no capitals, no dots, at gmail.com. Now, we do have a prize draw for people who get their memberships in by the 1st of April, and new members who join before then will also be included in that draw. If you're a member renewing, you will get a second chance at the prize draw. And we're also still needing volunteers to help with stuffing envelopes to get our magazine out. That will be towards the end of April. That's only happens four times a year, so that's not arduous. And people who want to help in the office, we're very keen on people training for that role, and it may help people get back in the workforce. So anyone, you know, 50 to 65 who is keen to expand their admin skills, we're happy to train you. Now, it's probably really worthwhile having another music track, but just before we go to that break, we have made, I think, history for Grey Power in Auckland recently by being a strong participant in the celebration of the new Ethnic Responsiveness Manager's role in police. So this new role saw Jessica Fuang be elevated to a senior manager role in police across the region to look after the interests and needs of ethnic communities. And Grey Power was one of the community organisations given a high profile on the police banner that was created for the occasion, and signatures from Grey Power committee members and other seniors in the community from other organisations were prominent on that banner. I think it was a milestone that was worth celebrating, so we've actually put photos in the newsletter on this. And from time to time we do work with stakeholders in the community on issues of importance, whether it's law and order or whether it's transport. We've worked with groups like Generation Zero on the transport front, and I think it's fair to say that we try to be a community builder, a community supporter, an advocate for community development, because that really brings the greatest benefit for all people, not just for seniors but for everyone, and brings a people focus to things, because people can get lost when there's such big conversations going on about infrastructure. So on that note, I'm going to play a track now, Te Tero Mai, by Kemara Fui Moano, and it's one of my New Zealand tracks that I rather like. So, and next time we will be focusing on housing. Thank you.
Te kapua kaore mara mare hure ho i to tata mai i koe mai ra mano mano na tui e tangi rana koto mi ke ra nei te puoro e rongo nei kare hure ho i to tata mai. Ahako, e ti tono e ho, e pae rawa ki a ho, tō mahi. Kaore koe ki te ana taku noi kore, koe rau I whai nei a koe. Ko a hau anake, me te pio I te whenua miharo. Oku awai taku kono ai taku hei tiki ni hure uau. E ti tono e ho, e pae rawa ki a hau tō mahi. Kaore koe ki te ana taku noi kore, ko rau I whai nei a koe. Ko a hau anake, me te pia.